Socioeconomic status plays a key role in a child's success later in life, rather than intellectual ability, according to a recent study. As an example, let's direct our attention to two elementary school students named Paul and John. Both children are attentive and respectful to their teachers, and both earn good grades. However, Paul's father is an affluent property magnate, while John's dad works on an assembly line in a factory. Even though their academic aptitudes are similar, Paul is 30 times more likely than John to have a high-paying career before reaching his 40th birthday, simply due to the differences in the economic situations of their parents. Indeed, statistics reveal that students like John have a 12% chance of finding and keeping jobs that earn only median-level incomes. Research dealing with the economics of inequality among adults supports these findings. Importantly, these studies also reveal that the economics of inequality is a trend that has become more and more pronounced in recent years. For instance, in 1960, the mean after-tax pay for a corporate executive was more than 12 times that of the average factory worker. In 1974, the average CEO's pay had increased to nearly 35 times that of the typical blue-collar worker. By 1980, the situation was even worse. The executive's wages and benefits were nearly 42 times that of the average wage of a factory worker. In the 21st century, this situation has reached a level which some economists have called hyper-inequality. That is, it is now common for the salary of the average executive to be more than 100 times that of the average factory employee. In fact, in the current year, most CEOs are making, on average, 530 times more than blue-collar employees. Because of this and other economic dichotomies, the theory of institutionalized economic inequality has recently sprung into existence. In keeping with this concept, many researchers argue that workers from higher socioeconomic backgrounds are disproportionately compensated, even though the contribution they make to society is no more valuable than that of their lower-paid counterparts. To rectify the present imbalance caused by this economic stratification, researchers claim that economic reward should be judged by and distributed according to the worthiness of the employment to society as a whole. Economic rewards under this schema refer not only to wages or salaries, but also to power, status, and prestige within one's community, as well as within larger society. Recently, cultural and critical theorists have joined the economic debate that empirical researchers embarked upon decades ago. Focusing on the effect of cultural technologies and systems, they state the very plausible theory that various forms of media promote the mechanisms of economic manipulation and oppression. Watching television, they claim, causes those of lower socioeconomic class to view themselves as apolitical and powerless victims of the capitalistic machine. Of course, such a phenomenon would have a negative impact upon individual identity and human motivation. On a more personal level, economic inequality also has pervasive effects on the lives of the less economically fortunate. The economic individualization theory explains the manner in which one's economic status influences musical tastes, the perception of time and space, the expression of emotion, and communication across social groups. A closely related theory, called the economic health imbalance hypothesis, posits that economic inequality may lead to differences in health and morality in those from the lower economic levels of society. Causing problems to many on a personal level, global economic inequality is also of great concern. The worldwide impact of economic inequality is so severe at present that certain poorer countries are considered to be peripheral during discussions of international monetary policy. In order to solve this problem, many economists believe that consideration must be given not only to political arrangements that make some groups more financially better off than others, but also to the social interaction between people and groups. Conversely, other theorists argue that financial improvement does not always result in the betterment of any particular society. They point out that levels of personal happiness, as well as trust and cooperation between people, are often highest when monetary considerations within a group are kept to a minimum. Finally, they warn that judgments about any given nation's financial situation may be biased as a result of the capitalistic emphasis on materialism and consumerism.